Hey, so we're talking with Mark Coates from Microsoft Studios about his history as a video game producer and his experience with teams pitching their games over the years over at Xbox. So, Mark, tell him a bit about your background.
Well, yeah, I've been making games for a long time, since the early 90s, but most recently I've been working here at Microsoft for the last 8 years, and primarily my work has been on Xbox Live Arcade, so I've had a great opportunity to see a lot of different games, work with a lot of really talented teams across the spectrum from, you know, really small studios to really large studios. You know, some of the great products that I've had the privilege of working on are like Castle Crashers and Shadow Complex and even Minecraft to a certain extent.
So, excellent.
So, yeah, I'm an executive producer on the team, and I work with a production staff. We have a larger internal team of designers and, you know, test personnel and, you know, artists when necessary and et cetera. But the bulk of the work is done through external relationships with external development partners.
Mm-hmm. So like independent game studios might come to you guys and say, here's this project we got, we want you to publish it. But then you get involved both to help them with their process, but also to provide testing resources and publisher expertise and so on?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, and like I said, it's really across a large spectrum. Sometimes what we really look to do is we try to understand what the game is all about, and if we're interested in pursuing it, then we try to understand more about the partner and like where are their capabilities and are there any gaps that we can help fill. And hopefully we're able to help amplify the overall development process and make it, you know, greater than it could be if they were just working alone.
Right. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So if a studio is going to pitch you, let's say it's a brand new startup, you know, just out of college or something, they don't have a track record yet. What's going to be the most important part of a pitch that you're going to hear?
Yeah. That's a good question. I think, you know, when we're talking about somebody just pitching something to us in a dialogue or versus a very formal pitch where we have materials and everything else on there, I guess they would comprise different things. But in general, you know, it always starts with the content itself. So you have to be able to, you know, convey what is awesome about the game concept. Mm-hmm. What is the creative vision? You know, of course, hopefully it's the best thing that's ever been conceived. But if you're in a competitive situation or something and it's like, well, hopefully it's as good as everybody else's. And then some of the other factors kind of come into play. And I would say, you know, aside from the merit of the concept itself, of course, which is always, again, the most critical thing, you know, you got to be able to convey the enthusiasm that you have for the idea. You've got to be able to speak to the game with conviction and the ideas with conviction and confidence. And because, you know, if you don't believe in the game and, you know, you're the maker of the game, then why should I?
So I think you're looking for that passion.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Passion matters, awesome. Especially when you're talking about, you know, anything creative, really, but especially games. Yeah.
So when someone's going to explain the concept for their game, like how do they do that? Do they compare it to other games? Do they just try to like seize your imagination? What do they do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've seen all sorts of approaches. I think, you know, I have my own ideas about what I think works best. But I think sometimes you got to go with what your own personal style is, you know. Don't try, if that helps you be more confident and passionate and get your idea across in a more natural way, well then, you know, go with it. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, in general, yeah, I think it is a good idea to kind of, it's sort of a two-step thing in my opinion. One is you always want to have that elevator pitch, right? That short, succinct way to kind of sum up what your high-level concept is around the game. And it's a bit controversial sometimes, you know, in mentioning other types of games or the specific examples of other games or movies or other media. But I actually like it. I think, you know, if you can give the elevator pitch and mention a game or some other entertainment experience that it's kind of like this, but except it's also this or it's a mixture of this and that.
Right.
I think it's a really great way to get your point across quickly. But then, you know, of course, that probably has to be followed up in a pitch of any sort of size with more detail, you know, and then you would start to kind of go into, you know, what comprises the game itself. And at that point, again, what I would say is you need to be able to paint a picture about what's in the game, you know, so you can imagine what it looks like and feels like. But then also, you know, focus on what you do in the game, right? Hopefully what you do in the game is something interesting, novel, innovative, compelling, or takes some existing experience to the next level.
So how much of the concept for a game is about what the character is doing in the like in the world mm-hmm. versus the tasks the player is achieving.
Yeah. It depends on the genre of the game and, mm-hmm. and et cetera. But I think again it's more if it's both. I mean at the end of the day it's both, right? But I tend to think to boil down the game experiences into the activities or the mm-hmm. actions that the player takes. Because that usually describes what the experience is like.
Yeah.
You can get into the tasks or the objectives or the missions, you know, or whatever the context of the game is. That helps tell a narrative mm-hmm. around the basis of your game experience. But if it's a relatively short pitch, mm-hmm. Then I would say it's most important to kind of, again, paint the context and then talk more about what you do in the game.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So could you give us an example of how you might pitch someone on a game you've worked on, like mm-hmm. with Castle Crashers or Shadow Complex or something else?
Yeah, that's interesting, yeah. Well, we're working on a game right now that we've publicly announced. It's called Ori and the Blind Forest.
Okay.
You're familiar with that. It's cool, yeah. And so, in fact, it's at TGS right now. And
yeah,
demonstrating
I saw it at PAX Prime.
PAX Prime as well, yeah. And we've worked with a great, talented external development studio called Moon Studios. And this isn't exactly how they pitched it to us, but I think, you know, at this point, like, if you were to break it down into those principal things that I just talked about, it mm-hmm. would be, you know, you would talk about the elevator pitch might be something like...
Could you pitch to the camera for us?
Yeah,
for our
sure.
viewers?
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
It might be like... let's see. We've got this great game idea, and I think you're familiar with this kind of game, so I'm just going to give you this short kind of elevator pitch to the game. But imagine a game where you take the old school, super crisp controls of a Metroid-style game, but then combine it with more modern, stylized, cutting-edge graphic treatment, and wrap it all up with a touching, engaging narrative that's told sort of allegorically, much akin to a Disney-style movie that you might watch. So maybe something like that. You know, that's just
awesome.
Off the cuff, but
I'd buy that.
Know. Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. And then, you know, like we said, then you know, when you got further into the pitch, you'd probably want to do something like, talk more about like what do you do when you do you play as Ori? Yes, mm-hmm. and here are the things that you do within the game.
So, like, what are some examples of game actions a player can take in that mm-hmm. game?
Yeah, so in Ori, it's in this style of game, it's all about exploration, and mm-hmm. so Ori is running, he's jumping, he's starting out with very few skills, but then he finds new abilities that he earns, and so there's certain things that we haven't announced yet, so I want to be careful not to give those away.
Sure, yeah.
But for example, you get one of the novel concepts that's sort of new, we think, to the genre is this idea of bash. And so in bash, once you have that ability, you can sort of latch onto objects within the world, mm-hmm. enemies, and then sort of launch yourself off of them in any direction that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
But then it gets even deeper than that. That's fun just by itself because it's very frenetic and fast moving. But you can also control the object that you're launching off of. So if you were to launch off of the enemy actually gets bashed in the opposite direction that you're propelled.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's layered on with additional mechanics where, you know, if there's a projectile, for example, you could easily imagine, okay, this is getting fired at me. I'll protect myself by bashing it, mm-hmm. but I'll launch the projectile in this other direction and maybe it'll, you know, smash into a wall and blow a hole in the wall.
Right.
So it introduces these sort of puzzle solving mechanics as well,
okay.
right?
So now you've covered sort of the high concept. You've talked a bit about some player actions, and especially like a signature player action, like
that's
a really
right.
distinctive new thing. Tell us how you would describe the story, the world, you know, kind of the fictional context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that would be an important part for a game like this. And that's actually a tip too. Never go into a pitch like I'm doing right now without preparing.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be prepared. You know, you want to have this all thought out well ahead
sure,
of time.
Yeah.
But in this case, yeah, I guess you would talk a little bit about the narrative itself. And in this case, you play Ori, who is sort of an orphan who's discovered by this character called Naru, who has sort of a mother-child relationship, and then begins to rear the child. And the narrative kind of takes you through this emotional, you sort of bond with the character and mm-hmm. the setting. And then, of course, something happens. And you have to strike out into the world which is this beautiful, vibrant, forest-like world, which appears to be dying because of some sort of evil intrusion.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, your mother character, Naru, has taken ill. So ill-prepared to take upon this grand adventure, you must venture out nonetheless, and you go through this incredible story of self-discovery while you try to bring life back to the forest.
That's awesome. So there are some great kind of image words you used in there, like forest and lush, that began to communicate to me kind of what this thing might feel like. It's just a verbal pitch. I can't see screenshots or a demo, but you're beginning to build that, to paint that picture in my head.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And I probably didn't do the best of jobs, but off the cuff, but that's exactly right. You know, you'd want to think carefully ahead of time about the words that you want to use, and it's critical to paint that picture, that vivid picture, in the person's mind, so that they have that context for when you kind of go into some of the mechanics of the actual game.
So when in pitches you've seen, what are some of the mistakes that you've encountered that you think that our students should avoid, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, well, a lot of the pitches, I have to admit, that we typically get are pretty full-blown pitches, you know. So so a lot of times, one of the things we talked about, which is be prepared, you know. So you'd be surprised how oftentimes people take for granted the situation and don't go in there with a plan and think about, you know, trying to convey the right message and this level of confidence that we talked about and everything. So step number one is be prepared, I guess. Some common mistakes, I guess, would be things like not accounting for the audience that you're pitching to, right? If you're pitching, in a real-world scenario, you're pitching to another publisher. So having an idea of what they might be looking for, or in the case of a first-party platform, say for someone like Microsoft, having knowledge about what Xbox One and its feature set offers, or on the PC side of things, what are there interesting, novel things that you can attach your game to that makes it a not only a great game experience, but also a great opportunity for your publisher. I think failing to account for that sometimes can also set you back, right? Because it just can be a great idea or something like that, but there just isn't a good fit in terms of that. I think, another one that's really interesting is sort of like your, I guess in the context of either a video presentation or an actual hands-on demo or a video of the game itself, that can be a double-edged sword. You know, it's like sometimes we've seen teams are really eager to kind of show what they've built so far. And a lot of times it is really impressive in certain ways. But if you never know, like, who's going to be reviewing what you're showing sometimes. So someone could pick it up. And while you may have just been wanting to show a small facet of the game or something like that, somebody might, without the proper context, pick it up and think that that is the entire game. So it can be sort of this double-edged sword where it works against you if you don't carefully set the purpose behind and the context for the actual demo or video piece that you're, or supplemental materials that you're providing, right? Yeah. So make sure that you're clear on what exactly you're trying to convey with the material that you're supplying.
Sure.
So sometimes we've seen that. I've seen, problems with that. So those are some of the common ones, I guess.
That's great.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, when you're getting a pitch from somebody, how do they talk about the kind of audience they're trying to sell to, like the gamers they have in mind? Because there's different kinds of gamers out there and so on. So how do they discuss that, and how important is that?
That's really important in a real business situation for sure, because you want to talk about the content. Again, I think that's number one. And you want to also be able to talk about like the fit, with your publishing partner. But then you also want to be able to talk to the audience that you're trying to reach, right? When you start to boil down the business parameters around the project, then that matters a lot, especially in today's world where the spectrum for who is a gamer is larger than ever. And so typically a game that you build is going to have the first, focused tier of customer that you're trying to reach, and they may have very different sort of tastes and sort of desires or needs than maybe somebody that's on the other end of the spectrum. So you want to be able to speak clearly about who your intended audience is and why this product that you're really building at the end of the day, but that this game experience is filling some need that they have. So I think that is definitely critical. Other elements are things like, just trying to understand, what is the target platform? And are there opportunities there in terms of what that platform offers that you can sort of build your game around?
Like platform features?
Platform features, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're building it for, you know, Xbox One, for example, there are all sorts of features that come with Xbox One. Mm-hmm. So for any given game, like how you treat achievements or mm-hmm. the leaderboards or some of the new replay systems might really be able to be leveraged to mm-hmm. kind of highlight or showcase elements of your game. And that can be really important as well. In terms of fit. And then, of course, you know, in a real-world situation, it usually costs money to build something like that. Mm-hmm. So being able to speak, you know, clearly and intelligently about, you know, how you're estimating the length of development and how much you think it might cost, and even be able to boil that down into, you know, rough production plans around number of people and things like that mm-hmm. can give context. And, you know, depending upon what phase of the pitch or negotiations or relationship that you're in with your publishing partner, mm-hmm. You know, those would require different, you know, levels of granularity, I guess you would say.
Right.
But even at the very, very front end, being able to speak to that or at least respond to questions about it, mm-hmm. You know, builds confidence in the publisher.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, we've talked also about like how, you know, sometimes the biggest risk can be around, you know, well, who is this development partner?
Yeah.
And so being able to, again, instill some confidence by being able to respond to questions like that. If you don't have a track record, it does build some of that context and confidence. And sometimes just being acknowledging weaknesses or areas, gaps in capability or areas where you feel like your publishing partner could help.
Mm-hmm.
Phil,
yeah,
that can help, you know, build the relationship and lead to opportunities to make mm-hmm. something better than it otherwise could be.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Mark, thank you for your time, man. This is some great stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My pleasure. Thanks.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And thank you very much to Mark Coates for that interview. So let's summarize a few things that hopefully that you learned from that discussion. So first of all, when you're getting your pitch together for your game, you've got to first and foremost be able to communicate how awesome your game is going to be. Like, you really have to have that passion for it. You've got to have a vision that you're going to share. Your excitement should really come through. If you just sort of say, well, it's this game where you do a thing and then you do a thing and then you win, that's not an effective pitch. You've got to really feel it and believe it. And if you don't, you probably have the wrong project. So first of all, make sure that you're really showing your enthusiasm and that you're focused on why is this game going to be more awesome than, you know, the 10 other games that are coming out this week, right? The second thing is you want to make sure that you have your elevator pitch ready to go. And your elevator pitch is like the shortest possible description of the game. Think of something you can say in one sentence or two sentences. That's the tightest version of the pitch. And you need to be able to communicate your game in that short of a description. If you think about when you see a game online, let's say in the Steam store or on Xbox Live, often those descriptions are just a couple sentences. Like, this is all it's going to tell you. So you got to think that short, that tightly, and get across what's great and new and different and interesting about your game in a very short span of time. So work on your elevator pitch. Third thing I want to hit on is that when you talk about your game, games are, they're immersive visual experiences. They often transport you into another world. So it's important that when you talk about your game, use imagistic words. Colors, smells, sounds, textures, environments. If your game takes place in a jungle, don't just say, it happens in a jungle. Say, the game happens in a lush, green, tropical space teeming with wildlife. That's an imagistic way to talk about your game. Another point is make sure you describe what the player does. So what are the actual actions I can take? Is this a game where it's all about timing my jumps like Mario or Super Meat Boy? Is it a game where it's really about finding the right weapon or the right tool to use for a given situation like a Metroid, for example? There's lots of different kinds of games and different things people do. Talk about that core experience as a user's playing in like a 2-minute stretch. What are they doing most often? What is a button they're pushing and what does it do? What are the things that are coming at them they're reacting to? That core experience is what you need to hit. Another example is to talk about the audience you have in mind. As Mark said, we've got a wider diversity of gamers today than ever before. All ages, genders, interests. Make sure that you know which audience you're aiming for. and that you understand who they are, what kind of games they like, and why your game is going to appeal to them. And finally, make sure you can talk about your target platform. That is, are you shipping this for a phone, for a console, for a PC? Like, what is that platform? And are there any specific features for that platform your game's going to showcase? If you're making an Xbox game, you should really just do something interesting with achievements. Now, you don't need to say that, you know, we're going to have 30 achievements that do all this. But maybe you just give one example that's really a fun, surprising, interesting example that helps illustrate what your game is about and also demonstrates your creativity. So think about those points, consider them, and then practice your perfect games pitch.